We're good. Good afternoon. We have the call to worship. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us bow our hearts and heads in a sound of preparation for worship. Let us stand and sing hymn 72A, Psalm 72A. You may be seated. We have the tithes and offerings, and then the prayer. Thank you. Let us pray. We do come before you, God Most High, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our protector and our Savior, thanking you, Lord, and blessing your name for all that you have done and will do. Even if we don't understand what we're going through right now and to what end, what purpose, God, we know that you are our Father and all things are done for our good and for your glory. May we trust and continue, Lord, to rest in that fact, as difficult as it may seem for us, Lord. We thank you especially that you have blessed us, even through this midst of difficulties which we find ourselves in, that we can give these tithes and offerings for the good of the church, for the expansion of God's kingdom. Bless them, we pray, and bless the givers of them. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray as you are our King and Master, that you would guide our leaders and our laws of the land, Lord, towards righteousness. Help us, Lord, in your providence to be an influence to that end and to pray accordingly. We ask, God, for those leaders who are not saved and converted, Lord, that their hearts would be pricked, they would have access to the gospel, repent. We pray, Lord, that you would hold back any wicked intents and laws that they have planned. As we've seen over the many decades, God, they work and do not seem to sleep at all unless they've done wickedness, as we read elsewhere in the Proverbs, Lord, describing the actions of the wicked. We ask, Lord, that you would strengthen the hands of our righteous leaders, Lord, even those who are not Christians, that is, at least to the extent that they are following what is right, good, and just, Lord Jesus, that they would be encouraged and the voters would vote for them, and they would pass godly and good laws. We ask God above, through your Holy Spirit and providence, to maintain law and order throughout this land, in accordance to the fifth commandment, God, that we would pray to that end and work to that end, and for peace. We certainly desire peace for this nation and law and order for our neighbors as we love them as good patriots, but especially, God, for the household of faith, that we could live peaceable and holy lives. Gracious God and Savior above, we come before you, Lord, praying that we would persevere during this difficult COVID time. We had various understandings of what's going on, Lord. There's lots of confusion. It's been politicized greatly, even the facts, Lord, and manipulation of the facts. We ask, God, that we would nevertheless do what we can, and that we would grow in the fruit of the Spirit of love and patience and joy towards one another as we are able, Lord. Help us take these things one day at a time, knowing that you are for us, God above, that you have equipped us to obey your word, even as we read, God, in Peter, where he urges the servants even to take the buffeting of the masters. We are certainly not being physically attacked by the law, although it is restricting us more than we are comfortable with. God, help us to persevere nevertheless. We pray, God, for the return of our freedoms. We pray especially for the return of spiritual freedom across this nation and across this land. Help us, God, we pray, to pay attention this afternoon, although it be hot and distracting here in this place, but we're thankful to have a place to meet. Lord, we're not in the sun with the heat down upon us, and we have a place to rest, to have water, to sit down. We pray, God, that our hearts would be open to your word and encouraged therein. In your name alone we pray, amen. Let us turn to our Bibles, to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. Verses 22 and following. Acts 24, verses 22 and following. Let us listen attentively to the Word of God. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, "When Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case." So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul, to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. Let us pray. Our God, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to see the text and understand the situation that Paul was in, and how, God, in particular, the response of Felix shows the heart of unbelievers who try to avoid God's judgment, but we know that they cannot avoid God's judgment. On the other hand, Lord, we see the boldness of Paul in preaching clearly and straight doctrine, God, to his audience, even to a man who can make life miserable for him. We ask, Lord, for more such pastors, but also, Lord, we ask that those who wish to delay judgment would not, Lord, but rather would repent and believe in you. In your name alone we pray. Amen. Many sociologists describe humans as social animals. The American Psychological Association describes us as gregarious. We like to talk with one another and to be with one another. Of course, some more than others. That's true. What we see, of course, here is a social interest with Felix. A desire, perhaps, to know more, to see what this new religion is. Maybe to talk to someone new who seems intelligent and smart, as surely Paul was. And yet, we also discover, as much as he perhaps wants to be gregarious, Felix, and his wife, who also came, to learn these new things of this new religion, he had some knowledge of it. It wasn't enough. Being gregarious, being social, was not enough. We've seen that in social media, perhaps. You've talked to people about the gospel and social media. I have done that. Maybe you have done that. Maybe you haven't. That's fine. It's not always the best place to do it, I grant. And you find out the conversation gets shut down pretty quick, I think, unfortunately. What we discover, of course, is that unbelievers may be interested in Christianity, as Felix showed some interest. Maybe even his wife. And yet it's not enough. They don't want to go down the whole path. It looks interesting at first, maybe because they have tickling ears. Again, and back then, they didn't have the internet. New things came along. It came by the slow passage of a footman, of a messenger, maybe a horseman. Nevertheless, we must persevere. We must speak the truth. Even though people wish to delay God's judgment, they cannot. Delaying the earthly trial, verses 22 to 23 and 26, is the first point. Delaying the earthly trial is essentially what Felix does. He says, okay, I've heard Jews, I've heard Paul. I want to wait for the commander to come. I want to delay the trial. He didn't have to, but he showed perhaps some judgment in this matter. He wanted to hear the other side. That seems reasonable. And we saw the unbelievers and pagans can be reasonable, believe it or not, as the commander was. Or maybe he was just trying to delay it. As we see else, the few verses later, what? He wants money. He wants the bribe. He wants to get money from Paul to get him out of jail. He also wants to please the Jews, we read in verse 27. So he has all these interests he wants to do, these things he wants to juggle as a leader. And the delaying, therefore, may be for all those reasons. And maybe he also wants to do the right thing. All those can be true. His knowledge of the way seems connected, perhaps, to the adjourning. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, that's describing the hearing at the same time. While he's hearing it, we know that he has a more accurate knowledge of the way. He adjourns the proceedings and, in fact, calls Paul to him in Drusilla to hear this message. So apparently he wants to hear more. He wants to know more. He has itching ears, we say. He's interested in knowing about this religion. Perhaps, of course, again, as a shrewd politician, to see if there's more influence out there, if there's another faction that will undermine and undercut his authority, whatever the case is. We can thank the Lord, at least Paul is thanking the Lord at the time. Hey, this man of influence wants to hear me. I'm going to oblige him. And he does, and he gets to hear him as you read here. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and give him liberty. This is before he asked to speak with him in verse 24. He has freedom there in 23. Paul uses his political freedom we saw at least twice already, and here he has it again, and he's going to exercise it. He uses it for himself, perhaps. It doesn't specify. It just simply says he let him have liberty and told him not to forbid, that his commander, not to forbid any of his friends, Paul's friends, to provide for or visit him. Prisoners got food from their friends. That was common back then. And so Paul would get food, probably get water, maybe some wine, maybe his parchments, as we read elsewhere, some of his other materials that he needs. He certainly is going to talk to them and edify them. I would strongly suspect, as we know, the rest of the Bible, when he's in prison, as he is essentially here in a holding cell, He's still writing letters and encouraging the saints. Although I'm in chains, he says, I wish that you weren't in chains, but you had freedom of Jesus Christ. Maybe he even talked to the guards. Whatever the case, we know, given the freedoms that Paul has, he exercised those political freedoms for the sake of himself, secondly, and for the sake of God's kingdom, first of all. He used and redeemed his time to encourage his friends and the like, I believe. We too are encouraged by Paul, the freedoms that we have in this nation, to exercise them for ourselves and our family, to be sure, but also for the kingdom of God when we can. We're not preachers and teachers like Paul, to be sure, but as situations arise, we ought to use it and exercise it, not be afraid of power. It's power in the wrong hands that we ought to be afraid of. I speak as a man, of course, and the earthly fears. But we should not be afraid and ashamed of exercising political power and our rights, as Paul did, for the sake of others and especially the kingdom of God. Paul does this, and this is a good thing. Delaying the heavenly trial is the second point. So the first point, Felix delays it for various reasons we see. Maybe again, he is really interested, as we see after some days, verse 24, he calls them and he hears him speaking of faith in Christ. He sends for Paul to hear these things. Curiosity gets the best of him, apparently. Verses 24 and 25, and now as he reasoned, verse 25, about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and sent him away. This gathering here, a sending of Paul from Felix and Drusilla. His wife was 19 years old. A 19-year-old Jewish, by all accounts, very beautiful. My daughter's like, I'm only 8 years away from that. And she abandoned her first husband to marry him. It was a power play. That's pretty common back then. Maybe even more common today than we realize. She deserted her first husband. Again, we don't know why they call him here, just that he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He had a private hearing. I would love to have that with the president right now. Give me your ear. So you recall our president said, I don't need to repent. He said it on TV a couple of years ago. He was asked. Paul gives his sermon, apparently. It's not very clear it's a sermon. He just says, now he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment. If you want to call that a sermon, that's fine. If you want to call that a teaching incident, whatever. He presented the gospel. But what's highlighted here is not Christ as such, but these three words, righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Isn't that interesting? I find it interesting. Righteousness, probably the lack of man's righteousness, knowing Paul. You don't have righteousness. Men do not have righteousness outside of Christ Jesus. All have fallen short of the glory of God. So Felix probably heard that. On the other hand, he probably also tied the righteousness to the righteousness of Christ. You have no righteousness. Christ has all the righteousness. He is our perfection and the perfection of the saints. This is the message you need to hear, Felix, and all unbelievers need to hear. In other words, from that one word, you can get law and you can get gospel, right? The law for conviction, of course the law has other functions, but law for conviction, the righteousness that you don't have. You think you're good enough, Felix? You are not. On the other hand, the righteousness of Christ, that tells us the good news, that there is another who is good enough to get us to heaven. And that is our Savior and Lord, Jesus, who came to earth as a man to live and die for us. That's the good news. So in the one word of righteousness, it could be both, although it's probably the former, because we read of what? Self-control and judgment. Those tie in really well with the preaching of the law, doesn't it? Self-control, that word is especially used, it has an emphasis upon, although it doesn't exclude self-control generally conceived of, but it emphasizes the seventh commandment. You adults know what I'm talking about. This man had gone through three wives. This is a third wife. She had gone through a prior husband and abandoned him. So again, it makes sense from what we see of Peter's preaching and Paul's preaching that they're not going to beat around the bush when they have an audience before them and they have an opportunity to tell them to repent as a preacher of repentance, as we saw this morning. He maybe didn't tell him to his face in the sense of, Felix, you need to repent, but maybe he said, hey, let's talk about righteousness. You're a judge, you're a governor, you have to govern in righteousness, right? What is right, what is wrong? Let me tell you about right and wrong. So it might have been direct in another manner, in the sense of he's saying these things are wrong to the man he knows, has a reputation, has many wives. Paul's not ignorant, I think. So there's different ways of being clear. I'm not trying to say Paul's always, hey, you, I'm talking to you, that kind of direct language, but it's still clear. Felix isn't walking away. Felix, in fact, is running away. He's in fear, it says. That's how clear Paul was in his preaching and bold. And of course, it's relevant today. You're not preachers, but you need to know when you talk to people, especially if they have no inkling or very little understanding of Christianity. And as we are clearly in a very paganized society, many people have very little understanding about Christianity. We're caricatures and misunderstandings. And you may have to give them some law. I know it's uncomfortable. But if it comes up, you may have to. I'm not saying you must, but if you find yourself and you know, I got to do it, then do it, and God will take care of it. As I said before, nothing fancy, just here's what the Bible says, here's a Bible verse. And say, if you want to talk more about it, we can, you know, something like that. But a pastor clearly has this calling, when he can, to be clear, to be forthright. In today's society, self-control is a big issue with respect to the seventh commandment. It's everywhere. It's on TV, it's in the movies, it's terrible. Be aware of it, fight against it, and speak against it. Instruct your children that they're aware of how much it's been abused. We're like frogs in a frying pan. It can't be easy to get used to. Because it is, I mean, even advertisement. It's been for a long time. You've got half-naked people running around the TV screen. What's up with that? Lack of self-control there. Do you really need to do that to sell something? Are we that vain? Unfortunately, they are in America. Whatever the particulars are, they need to hear the particulars. Felix needed to hear this particular of self-control with respect to his family and his marriage. And of course, Paul spoke also of judgments to come. This isn't just Paul. Christ speaks this way, as we know. In John 16:8, we read Christ speaking of the Holy Spirit. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the rulers of this world are judged. That's the mission of the Holy Spirit. And how does the Holy Spirit do that? How does he bring judgment and conviction in preaching of righteousness? But through the mouth of preachers. That's not a voice booming from heaven, but simply through someone like me, and someone like you, speaking the truth, as hard as it is, to those who need to hear it and repent. Paul does it. The Holy Spirit ultimately does it. Paul isn't saving people. Paul isn't convicting people as such. But the Spirit, as he uses the words of Paul, to prick the heart of a man like Felix. You can imagine Felix's fear. He was afraid and answered, go away from me. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you. He's trying to delay judgment. He doesn't want to hear any more about this bad news. That's not comfortable. Felix, who was a slave, became a free man and somehow got his way into this position of authority and power and was known as a brutal leader. Do you think he feared easily? I suggest to you, that shows also how clear Paul's preaching was. That he got the message about judgment, that Christ is coming, and those who play around with marriage are going to hell. Felix was afraid. He was scared. I think I'd be scared of Felix. I mean, Felix could throw him back in jail and kind of went, I'm sorry, I was confused. The bureaucrats gave me the wrong paperwork here, and I guess you were in prison for another month and got beaten a few times. Oops. You don't think he had that kind of power? Of course he did. Yet Paul spoke the truth. He was a straight shooter, as we say. And it scared him. The Holy Spirit convicted him. May we have more preachers like that, brothers and sisters, for those who need to hear it. Paul was, of course, meek, and gentle to those who needed to be meek and gentle. He tells that to Timothy. You heard that this morning in 2 Timothy. He tells Timothy, the pastor, to be meek and gentle to those who oppose themselves and oppose the gospel. But others, they need to be hearing it clearly and straight. Felix calls for Paul again, of course. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. And as we know why, he had hoped that Paul would give him money and buy him out. Get me out of prison. Here you go. I guess that was common practice back then. Paul had nothing to do with it. Not going to do it. I'm sure Paul could have got the money. He had access to the church funds. In the sense that he's a well-known pastor and evangelist. I'm sure the church is like, here you go, I take the money, get out of prison. Paul's like, no, I'm going to stay. Whenever he hears me, I'm going to keep coming and talking to him. And Felix keeps putting up with it. Apparently, Felix, as much as maybe he was interested in hearing something new, he lost interest really quick. He was scared of the fact. But money drove him enough, his greed, to listen to this kind of preaching more often than not, just so he can get something out of it. Maybe I'll get paid. Maybe I'll get some gold out of this. I can put up with this. It's a little longer. I'm a strong. I used to be a slave. I've been beaten a few times. I can handle a few verbal assaults. That shows you the mindset of unbelievers. Isn't that amazing? I know we wouldn't put up with false preaching. You know, just flip it. Invert it. If I was up here preaching false stuff and browbeating you all the time about how terrible you are, and you're like, what are you talking about? I haven't committed that sin. What is this stuff? You're like, I'm tired of this. There's a problem here. And then you add on top of that, well, maybe if I stay here longer, the pastor's going to give me money or something, and I'll get rich. This is what Felix is doing. It's quite amazing. And it shows, again, the hardness of hearts, even though he was pricked and he had fear. It wasn't enough. It was not godly fear. Now, what you have here, if you think about it, Felix calls for him. He hopes he would pay him, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. It's just a front, right, to get paid. And yet, after 2 years, he keeps him there as a favor to the Jews. So his reasons, more reasons come out for him to put up with this. 2 years. In jail. That's a long wait time to go through the courts, right? And Paul never convinced him. People today, I hear, would say Paul was a failure. And in that sense, in the sense of, yes, you're counting the number of people he talks to and how many converts he has, he was a failure with Felix. And he had a special access to the man. There he is. Come talk to me, mister. It's not always about the fruit, is it? The hardness of hearts as well. You're supposed to do what you can and leave it in God's hands. Preachers can have the truth, and people not convert. Zechariah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he can attest to that. They would not listen. Very discouraging, I'm sure. They have itching ears, but still, they had wanted nothing to do with it. And I fear, of course, in America we have that often. I don't believe we have that as a special problem in our church or churches, and that's a good thing. Praise the Lord. But we still have problems in America and the churches, and broadly speaking, of people wishing to delay and avoid judgment like Felix. He delayed the earthly judgment for 2 years, as you see here, and he delays the heavenly judgment, or he thinks he delays the heavenly judgment. From the Second Great Awakening onward, especially in America, we've had lots of man-made religions. You've heard of the Burnout District and New York and the like. That was the Second Great Awakening. They had so many so-called revivals. Gemmed up emotionalism. And that's where we get the Seventh-day Adventists. That's where we get other cults. Mormons came out during that time and the like. America had lots of new religions. Again, in the turn of the last century, you had the JWs, late 1800s. You have Christian Science and the like. America loves it. It's their way. It's mankind's way. It's American uniqueness in some ways to avoid the truth of Romans 1, that we all know that there is a God. And that judgment is coming. So they redefine what this God is and how limited he is. And they redefine how they can appease him and thus make a new religion. And they're tired of Christianity and they want something new. We're seeing that, unfortunately, in society double time, it seems. They wish to avoid judgment. That is what's happening. Do not forget that. Don't think maybe it's your bad breath, your bad personality. Maybe you have bad breath. Maybe you have a bad personality. At the end of the day, unbelievers want to avoid judgment. That's the point. Don't forget that. Don't be discouraged. Your call is just speak the truth, live the truth especially, because you're not pastors and preachers per se, and leave it in God's hand. As again, Romans 1 tells us, they know there's a God, and they take the things of creation and turn them into the Creator, and thus try to hide from God. And of course, they can't avoid judgment. It's happening. Christ Jesus will return. That must be part of the message of the churches today. Judgment is coming. You have a foretaste of it now, when we have difficulties in life, nationally and locally, of the effects of sin, a form of judgment, with a small j, we can say. But we can also tell them, as I think Paul told Felix, I'm sure, there is a way to avoid judgment. There's but one way, and that way is Jesus Christ, repenting of sin, fleeing from it, a change of your mind, to hate sin and to embrace Christ Jesus. That is the way. That is the only way the world must hear to avoid judgment. They need this message. Unbelievers need to hear this message. Judgment is coming, and there's only one way to avoid that judgment. It is to repent. It is to flee and to embrace Christ Jesus as our righteousness, as our perfection, as He who obeyed the law and suffered in our stead, in your stead, brothers and sisters. Yes, as Christians, you need to hear repentance. I don't believe you need to be browbeaten with all the time. Any reminders, gentle reminders perhaps, indirect reminders, there's various ways that can be done. Don't think you need to be like a Felix and always have to have your head beaten in with preaching of judgment. That should not be necessary all the time. But you still need to hear it. You need to hear it in the context of the gospel. The gospel is repent and believe. Christians do that. The life of the Christian is repenting and believing. Repenting doesn't mean you're always crying and down on your knees. It could simply mean, oh, you're right, I was being an idiot. What was I doing? That's wrong. Forgive me, Lord. Help me carry on. That's it. The walk of the Christian is a stumbling walk, but it's a walk nevertheless. The righteous man falls 6 times but gets up the 7th. Because you have the Holy Spirit. You will persevere. Repentance for the Christian is but a motivation, one of many, not the only one, to keep on keeping on, to persevere. Love is another. That you love Jesus, you look to Jesus and the things that He's done for you, you count your blessings, both material and spiritual. But part of the Christian call is repentance. The church must preach that. There's a time and place for that. A friend of mine puts it this way. He's being sarcastic, I know, to some extent. But yeah, it is good to go to church and to get my lickings now and then. I need that because I know how stubborn I am. That may be for his case. Others of us are more sensitive, and that's good. It's a little hard, right, with a mixed audience. Whatever the case is, however it's manifested in your life, brother and sister, thank the Lord that your hearts are sensitive, that you are aware of your sin, but all the more that you look to Jesus Christ, that He has fulfilled the day of judgment for you on the cross, that to look forward to the day of judgment is not to look forward to the day of your judgment, but the day of your vindication, where Christ tells the whole world that you trusted in Him, that He is your perfection. Brothers and sisters, also pray. Pray for the churches to preach and to have pastors that preach repentance and judgment as well as Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, God above, we're thankful for these words. We know, Lord, that Paul suffered a lot for you, that he spoke clearly and straightly. We pray, God, that the pastors today would do the same thing, again, relative to their audience, and that we who hear this and read this passage, Lord, not run so readily to condemning ourselves. Maybe I don't have enough self-control. Maybe I think I'm too righteous. That may be, but at the same time, God, also realize it's also a reminder that we ought to support pastors and preachers who do these things, who preach this way when needed. Help us, God, to persevere as a church and as your people. In your name alone we pray. Amen. Let us stand and let us sing. 387, the backside. Judgment day of wonders, hark the triumph awful sound, louder than a thousand. Nation round. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.